You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is April 4th, and this is the Bruins Beat, presented by FanDuel on CLNS Media. And welcome back into the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. Hope you guys are having a great day, a great week. And on this episode, Connor Ryan and I get into some award talk, some big picture awards, though, because I know the next couple weeks, next hopefully couple months, are going to be a lot of playoff-centric stuff. So we get into David Pastrnak as a Hart candidate, obviously not going to win, but how good is his case if Connor McDavid wasn't doing as well as he is, because Connor McDavid is kicking ass, as you guys all know. So we get into Pastrnak and how good of a season he's had and potentially getting 60 goals, which would be quite a feat, I must admit, quite a feat for Pastrnak to do that. We also get into Linus Ullmark, certainly should win the Vezina. We get into his season and evaluate his candidacy for the Vezina. We also get into a big question I think that's going to hit as the playoffs get even closer. Could the Bruins potentially play both Ullmark and Swayman in the playoffs? So we get into all of that and more in this episode, which, as always, is brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan, presented by FanDuel. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. And Connor, we're going to jump right in because there were a lot of games, two games this weekend. It's a lot in NHL terms. But I remember back at the beginning of the year, you had said that the Bruins would beat the St. Louis Blues in the Stanley Cup. And, you know, to cap everything off, to cap off an incredible season. And you were basically almost right in this prediction, in that they almost did something sweeter on Sunday. Maybe not sweeter. I mean, Petrov Maguire was tweeting that the Bruins had won Game 7. That was the real Game 7. They had finally won. But they kind of, not the last laugh. The winning a Stanley Cup is much bigger. I'll say that. But the Bruins do get the satisfaction of, in their best season ever, they get to knock out the St. Louis Blues from playoff contention. That had to have felt kind of nice. So you were pretty close on that. I'll give you credit.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of disappointing. I was expecting like a Jordan Binnington fight in a game like that, especially after Bruins, scored two goals in like 40 seconds. I'm like, oh, here comes the meltdown. But alas, Evan.
We'll take what we can get out of the Jordan Binnington content bowl of the things, of his fights and everything like that. But yes, knocking the Blues out of the playoffs, done. I feel bad for Torrey Krug. I'll say that. I do feel bad for Torrey Krug a lot. Guy I thought should have won a Stanley Cup here. You know, obviously, I think that's something. It's funny. I remember we did a lot of podcasts and stories about Torrey Krug at the time. And, you know, we kind of both said the same thing of really good player, deserves the bag. Bruins really can't give it to him. You know, just didn't. You could tell at 30 years old that was a contract that really wouldn't age great. And you're seeing it now a little bit in St. Louis, even at this deadline, there were, you know, should Torrey Krug be traded, you know, this and that. So it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. But, you know, he still made a lot of money. So there is that silver lining to it all. Speaking of people, by the way, who've made a lot of money and will be making a lot of money, David Pastrnak continues to roll. You had a great tweet over the weekend saying that it's very underrated how whenever the Bruins are without star players like Bergeron or Marchand or McAvoy or whomever, David Pastrnak always steps up. You saw it against Carolina a few weeks ago. You saw it against Pittsburgh on Saturday, scores a hat trick with some freaking snipes. And then on Sunday with the, you know, he didn't carry the team, but a really nice pass to Tyler Bertuzzi in front of the net. Goal wasn't called off, thankfully, for Tyler Bertuzzi. But it brings up an interesting point in that Pastrnak has had an incredible season. I mean, incredible. And we talked about this a few weeks ago when he hit 50, saying that it really was not a stretch to think this. But, you know, he's not going to win the award. But I would say right now he's probably second in Hart Trophy consideration. If Connor McDavid didn't exist, Pastrnak's probably the Hart Trophy guy, right?
He's right in that mix, right? And I think you look at him, yes, he's not maybe as complete of a player or as central to the team success like a guy like McDavid, obviously. But I think, yeah, you look at what he did these last couple games, that game against Carolina on the road as well. It's one of those situations where you look at Pastrnak's game and there's plenty of games where he either, you know, turns over the puck, he's doing trying to do a little bit too much, what have you, and everyone will reply on Twitter like, I don't know, like $11.5 million for this guy. Like, is it really worth it? He has a lot of turnovers. And yes, like, again, there are times where it can be kind of frustrating to watch where I think he tries to do too much. And then there's games like Pittsburgh where he's a cheat code. And you're like, this is why it's worth it. This is, and you know what? Those situations tend to happen a lot more or make more of an impact on a game than a bad entry or, you know, a misplayed puck or what have you. They tend to work themselves out, right, in terms of what he brings to this team. Every single game. And you look at just what he did against Pittsburgh in that game where it was just a man on a mission. You look at how good he was against the Blues. It's one thing if he wasn't already part, you know, he's part of a roster that is stacked with talent. Obviously, you look at a team that's already at 60 wins, like, you know, how important he is. But in those situations where you don't have Bergeron or Krejci or other guys in there, he is always seems to have stepped up and elevated his game. So you hope that continues, especially once you get to the playoffs and continue a few of those. I mean, there's a few of those sequences over these last couple of games where I think if you're the opposing team, it's just to like shrug your shoulders, right? It wasn't like it was like a D-zone lapse, what have you. It's just an elite player making an elite offensive zone play, and it's not much you can do. And that's a sign of a very, very good player.
Not much you can do there at all. And, you know, it's funny, the McDavid thing is insane. I mean, if you look at Connor McDavid's stats, first in goals, first in assists. That means he's first in points too. Mathematicians over here. But you look at, first of all, I mean, McDavid in my eyes is the most dominant player in all of sports. I don't think there's a player who dominates a professional league like Connor McDavid. I mean, McDavid is in his own class. I think of all athletes right now, Mahomes, McDavid, Trout. I don't think anyone is as dominant to their, of the four major sports, MLB, NBA, NFL and NHL, obviously. Duh. Caitlin Clark, though, from Iowa, you could make an argument, yes, is right up there, but that's, you know, that's college. But no one's as dominant as McDavid is. But, you know, Pastrnak, 56 goals so far, still five games to play as we sit here on Monday. McDavid's at 62. McDavid's on a crazy pace. I don't know if Pastrnak catches him, but there's like a sliver of hope there, Connor, that if things go like really crazy, like maybe Pastrnak catches McDavid for the most goals. Do you think there's any chance that this happens?
I mean, it'd be one thing if you're already relying on David Pastrnak to go, as the kids say, sicko mode over these
sicko
last couple
mode,
of games.
Yes,
right?
To go sicko mode. Yes.
But also you're relying on the other flip side of that, of McDavid to cool down, which I don't think is happening.
No,
so,
not
again,
happening.
Listen, if I wouldn't put it past Pastrnak, you know, getting another four goals in the next five games. Would not put it past him at all, right? That being said, I don't see him catching up to McDavid in terms of just McDavid suddenly, unless literally the Oilers just don't play him the last couple of games. I don't see a situation where McDavid is being held up the score sheet once again in any of these last couple of games that Edmonton has. So, which again, it's too bad that if Pastrnak even hit 60 goals, how great of an accomplishment that is. I know only the second Bruin to hit that after Esposito, and he's still going to finish it up runner up to the guy who's probably the best player we've seen since Gretzky, right? So, alas. Yeah. What can you do? At that point, much like how teams defend against Pastrnak himself, they shrug your shoulders.
Shrug your shoulders. Nothing you could do there. I mean, what are you going to do on that? And so again, I mean, with him, probably not going to hit it, but fun to be in the race, even though it's not like a Sosa Maguire type thing. It's, you know, a little different with these two guys. To even be in the same class as McDavid, to even be spoken in the same breath of could he, I think is an accomplishment in and of itself. And you're seeing that on display this year. Someone who should win their honor is Linus Ullmark winning the Vezina. We've talked about this all year. The numbers back it up. Obviously, yes, there are guys like Connor Hellebuck out there who are having incredible seasons for teams that are worse than the Bruins, 100%. But I still think, you know, as we wind down the regular season, I kind of like to talk about these awards because we're going to be talking playoffs for so long. So it's nice to kind of button these things up before the playoffs hit. There are going to be some national writers out there, and I don't blame them. You know, they have not seen the Bruins as much as, you know, look, we have not seen a lot of teams out there consistently. We're not watching Coyotes games every night. I mean, maybe you are. I don't know. It'd be crazy if you were. But I do think there are going to be some national writers who overthink it a bit and think, I got to go with the goalie who is on a worse team. I think this, you know, in some years, that's the case. I remember, I think it was it 2020 when Hellebuck also went sicko mode and Rask technically had the better, like, numbers, but Hellebuck was on the worst team. And Hellebuck ended up winning, I believe. Hellebuck won that Vezina, right?
If memory serves. I believe he did, right?
Yeah, I think he did. I don't think Rask won that one. But this is a case I think Ullmark should have this Vezina clearly in the bag.
Yeah, I think it's something where you look at it, yeah. It's kind of like the argument you have in a couple, like, what was it? The year that, like, Felix Hernandez either won or should have won, where I think his, like, record, like, was, what, like, 12-15 or something, but he had, like, a 2.12 ERA or something like that. So it's like, all right, on a really bad team, like, don't let wins and losses dictate all those things. So, yeah, you look at, like, a team like, I don't know, Hellebuck, who's 17-13 with like a 2.60 ERA or something like that. Like, all right, like probably could have 20 wins on a better team, but like Ullmark is like 25-3 with like a 2.12 ERA. Like it's not, it's literally, he's got the baseline stats and sometimes can be taken out of context, but then you dive into it more and whether it's expected goals, high danger save percentage, all that stuff, he's been moneying those as well. So again, I could see why, like, I think a lot of voters want to do, and you hope this is the case, want to do their due diligence to be like, all right, is there someone we're missing? Is there something diving deeper into it where Ullmark hasn't had a tough workload because the defense and the team in front of them, which again, Bruins have a stacked roster. That's no doubt, like no doubt about that. But this team is probably, you know, how many fewer points will they have if Ullmark wasn't on his game for so many times this season, especially early on when he really bailed this team out. To get them on that stretch, like who knows how much this team kind of builds on this season if they didn't go out to whatever it was 11-1 start, right? Like when you had so many question marks early on in the year, treading water, all these things, he was key out of the gate there for them. So yeah, it's one where I could see voters wanting to, you know, dive in and assess those situations. You just hope they also look into Ullmark's, you know, underlying numbers as well, because whichever way you want to look at it, you know, record, saves, save percentage, expected goals, all of it makes Ullmark look the clear-cut Vezina winner.
And he has a goal. And he has a goal, too.
That helps. That is true. You make a compelling argument, Evan.
They don't. But no, I mean, the numbers are just absurd. And, you know, we're going to talk Ullmark and Swayman here in a bit. But again, I don't see how he doesn't win the Vezina. I feel like I'm seeing more and more national people saying he should win the Vezina, that it would shock me if he didn't. But again, I do think there will be national people who say, hey, I value Hellebuck more and what he did more than a guy like Ullmark. But again, I still think Ullmark should have the Vezina. And it's interesting that a year ago, still the narrative was it should have got someone better. Ullmark's not worth the money. Now looks like it's pretty worth the money. So there is that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
One thing I do want to touch on that we haven't touched on in quite a while, I feel like, is playoffs are going to come around. And as we talked about Linus Olmark, Olmark's had such an incredible year. But we talked about this a little bit at the start of the year. He's never played this much. This is a first. Both him and Swayman, A, have never played this much, and B, have no playoff experience, really. They had one round last year. It didn't go so hot. But this year, obviously, they're going to have to be on their game. And historically, one goalie gets hot in the playoffs, carries them through, and, hot goalie wins the Stanley Cup. You know, Tuukka Rask, they thought Tuukka Rask would do that in 2019. Great numbers. Tim Thomas in 2011, Jonathan Quick all those years. And you don't ever see two goalies switching off. But this is a weird situation for a very unique team in that you have two goalies who are at the top of the league in almost every statistic. They've both been outstanding. Swayman, since January 1st, has completely found his game and has been, terrific. Is there any chance they go back and forth? Because obviously Olmark is the starter. Olmark is going to be the guy. But do they say, hey, you know what, game four, let's give it to Swayman, is there any chance that happens?
I mean, I can only really see it happening if, like, Olmark has two or three, or I think probably two has to be. You can't have three.
Three, it's a little tough.
You're asking, unless you're switching series or what have you. But it's going to be tough because I feel like and you look at how Jim Montgomery operates and so much about instilling confidence, I think that's something he's always talks about, is being positive, being transparent with his players, always focusing on the positives. If it's something negative, you say it, let it sit for a second, and then, focus on the next play, and you kind of build guys up as opposed to tearing them down and having them kind of process the game as it's happening. So it's tough in that regard to have that be your mantra, and then all of a sudden have it be like, all right, Olmark, like, you got game one, you're a Vezina winner. But, like, it also will probably be Swayman. And I understand that sucks for Swayman, right, where he's been fantastic, especially over the last, half the season since the calendar flipped over to 2023. But if Olmark is playing at a high level, I don't see it being a situation where you mess with a good thing, right? Like, it's I think, like, with Swayman in the playoffs, you have the best break glass in case of emergency situation, right? There's so many other teams where if a goalie doesn't have, like, look at, like, the Penguins in the playoffs, that was it 2 years ago with Jari, where you just had a complete meltdown. If that was to happen, the Bruins have a fantastic contingency plan in place.
Or was it 2013 when Fleury went down and they had he wasn't playing well, so they put in, like, Thomas Vokoun?
Yes, exactly. So if that happens, like, the Bruins have a fantastic, backup option there. But it's tough when you look at just how good Olmark has been this year. I still think he's the number one goalie, obviously. And in the playoffs, barring, like, a severe dip in his game, I just don't see it being a situation where, like, let's say the Bruins are going into a pivotal game five and Olmark's been so far, and they switch to Swayman. Like, it's something where all of a sudden this new narrative pops up in the middle of this pivotal series of, like, all right, they're losing faith in Olmark. Like, what's going to happen? Is Swayman, he hasn't played in 2 weeks. Like, is he cold going into such a pivotal series? Like, so many more, avenues for, I don't know if criticism is the right word, but second guessing, all that stuff. It just gets to, you get to a messy point in terms of, like, tangling up those narratives if you hit a section there where you are kind of going back and forth. So I think Olmark's still the guy. I mean, that's no indictment on Swayman. It's Olmark's been the best goalie in the league for the best team in the league. So that's how I just kind of see it playing out. But again, it is the playoffs, so who knows what can happen between now and then. A whole lot can change.
We talked about an interesting narrative with the trade deadline for many months, and we said, this team is great as is. You don't need to do a lot to it. Don't trade pieces off the current roster if you don't have to, except for guys like Craig Smith. Like, don't break it. It's not, you don't have to fix it. It's fine. It feels like the goaltending is a similar situation where you don't need to overthink this. You've been given a great hand if you're Jim Montgomery and goalie Bob and the whole staff. Like, you have the right pieces. You have two really good goalies, but you have a Vezina winner, the best goalie in the entire league in Linus Olmark. You don't need to overthink this. Just let him play. Like, just let it go, And obviously, as you said, if you are playing the Leafs in round two and Olmark just completely is awful in games one and two, yeah, you might have to go to Swayman in game three. But just alternating them and saying, oh, Linus has games 1, 2, and 3, but 4 is going to go to Swayman, and then we'll, like, that's asking a lot. So,
yes.
Again, I understand why some people think it's, you know, not a bad idea, because if any team could do it, it's them. They have the guys to do it. I think you could get by doing that if you really wanted to, but I still think when it comes to confidence and when it comes to just doing the typical thing, you don't need to overthink this. You do not need to add that element to the playoffs when you don't have to. Now, again, when it comes to like the fourth line, if you want to switch that up based on matchups, if you want to switch up, you know, who were your six defensemen against a certain team because of a matchup, that's one thing. But to do it with goaltending, I think, is where it gets kind of weird. I mean, again, I mean, maybe you could throw Swayman in for a game here and there, but I just don't see the point to it. It's the playoffs. Everybody's tired. Everybody's tired in the playoffs. No one is fresh in the playoffs. So everyone is dealing with that, I can assure you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we go, though, the fourth line is an interesting thing. I know we talked about this a little bit on a recent Poke the Bear. You know, again, I think if Foligno returns, we both agree Foligno, no second Hathaway, should be the fourth line. But Lauko's played his way, I think, into contention, at least, to at least make things interesting. Even a guy like Trent Frederick, you know, if Taylor Hall does come back, you know, does Frederick get bumped from the lineup as well? Feels like that could also be a possibility. But Lauko, at least, is kind of in that, I think, has played himself into not a playoff starter, but if they need a guy in a pinch, if someone gets injured, I think he's someone that you kind of can put out there on a fourth line.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, he's been very candid and transparent about, you know, his thought process and, you know, realizing that.
Yes,
I think
he
when
is.
He first, yes, he's been very upfront. But you look at where he was when he got drafted, I think he had the potential being a top six offensive minded winger. And you look at the way, you know, his speed is and his puck play. And he's a guy that I think if you give him a full-time spot on like a fourth line, and he could be a guy that can give you 10 goals or, you know, 20 points just the way he kind of buzzes around the net. But, you know, he's been cognizant of the fact that he has to do stuff outside of just scoring. He's not going to have a whole lot of scoring chances. He's not going to have a lot of ozone time, no power play time. So you got to make the most of the limited reps you have. So whether that's dropping the gloves and getting guys energized or, you know, adding in pressure on the forecheck. He's doing all the little things that has really helped out this team. He's been fantastic this year in terms of drawing penalties. I think I looked it up. He's averaging, I think, 4 drawn penalties per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 play, which is tops out of any player with 150 5-on-5 minutes. So, and I think
that's
number
staggering.
Two is, yeah, I think number two is Klim Kostin of Edmonton. I think he's at 2.72. So it's an absurd number that he's drawing in terms of, and it's, again, being a pain in the ass after the whistle, being in on the forecheck, beating guys to loose pucks and, you know, getting hooked and all these other things that if the Bruins power play is operating at a higher rate, which it seems like they are kind of turning the corner. But if you have a guy like Lauko who can, in those limited times, lay out a guy, drop the gloves and kind of spark some momentum and get you on the power play one or two times, that can go a whole long way in terms of a guy that's only getting 7, 8, 9 minutes in the grand scheme of things. So yeah, like he might be the odd man out going into the playoffs if guys come back healthy, but he even said it after this game on last Thursday. Like I know where I sit in the lineup if Hall and Foligno come back, but what I want to do is put myself in a position that if they need to switch things up or guys get injured, I want to be one of the first guys called into it. And I think we've mentioned it before, whether it's the 7 guys on defense, you got guys like Lauko and Greer and all these other guys. All of them are going to have to, you know, pull in the same rope once you get to the playoffs. Like all these guys are going to have at least one signature play or moment that's probably going to stand out if this team goes on a long playoff run.
Completely agree. Completely agree. It'll be interesting to see when that happens. But Connor, what can people look forward to from you over at Boston.com?
Yeah, we're going to have you covered every step of the way with game recaps, columns, features, breakdowns, all that good stuff over at Boston.com. So please follow along over there. Of course, we cover more than just the Bruins. So whether it's Red Sox season now starting up, Patriots offseason, Celtics getting ready for their playoff run, Ooh. We covered every step of the way over at boston.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. And the Red Sox are 2-1 as of Monday. So World Series is on, Connor. World Series is on.
Let's go.
They're winning it. They're winning it this year. I can feel it in the air. No, I can't actually. That's why tickets for Monday's game, and we're recording this on Monday, I think I saw tickets are as low as like
$4.
Yeah. Okay. So you saw four. I saw five. Red Sox Pirates. Not a bad deal.
I'll see you over there, Evan.
Yeah, we'll go together. But anyways, Connor, and people, make sure to subscribe to Doing an Hockey Journal as well. That's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. You Bruins Beat listeners, have a great rest of your week.